Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How do you like it when someone begins a conversation with you by asking a question? I just did that. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you do. But questions have been on the lips of God's people this past couple of weeks in the gospel readings. Last week, Jesus asked a question. And that question was, "Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth?" And as I told you last week, of course, we the people of God would like to think that the answer that Jesus is expecting is, yes, you came to bring peace. Peace between us, sinful humanity, and you, a holy and righteous God. And yet, as I reminded you last week, the answer Jesus is expecting is just the opposite. Because Jesus reminded you, his people, that he came to separate you from the unbelieving world, to separate you from the influences of sin and death in this world. And so the answer that Jesus was expecting was, no. I did not come so that you, my people, might continue to live at peace with this world at the expense of peace with me. This is a reminder that the teachings of Jesus are hard, even for you, God's people. And if you're listening to Jesus, his teaching might also lead you to ask questions. And in fact, that's exactly what happens in today's gospel. Now, one of those who has been listening to Jesus along with you for several weeks in the gospel asks Jesus a question. Are only a few going to be saved? Now, once again, before Jesus answers, of course, we who hear that question would like to give an answer, wouldn't we? And of course, the answer that you'd like to give is, no, of course not. Because you would like to think that everyone that you know, everyone you're related to, all your co-workers, your neighbors, your friends, all of your loved ones are going to join you in the presence of Jesus and spend eternity with him. You would like to think that in the end, God is going to simply say, come on, everybody, I was just joking about this repentance. Everyone's welcome into my presence. But before you give that answer, let Jesus answer the question. And the answer is clearly, yes. The number of those who will be saved is few. In fact, Jesus later in the Gospel of Matthew states it even more clearly. Many are called, but few are chosen. This is the reality of Jesus' teaching. Why would one of the followers of Jesus ask this question? Because hopefully, like you, you've been listening to Jesus. Jesus has called sinners to repentance. He has stated very plainly that the only way of salvation is through faith in him. That's why in today's gospel, Jesus speaks of a narrow door or a narrow way. His word is clear. Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Then Jesus describes the following scene to give you a picture of what will happen when a person dies apart from faith in Christ, or if judgment day should come for those who do not know and do not believe in Christ. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door saying, Lord, open it for us. He will answer you, I do not know you, or from where you come. then you will begin to say, we ate and we drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. But he will say to you, I tell you, I do not know where you come from me. Depart from me, you workers of evil. And Jesus now, concluding this illustration of the judgment of God, speaks not in figurative language, but in plain, simple words for all to hear. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. What a horrible scene. When those for whom Christ has died must face the truth that they will not share in those blessings and will be cast away from God's presence for eternity. And yet when Jesus answers this question, he speaks not just to unbelievers as he gives this answer. He speaks also to those who believe in him. And so his answer here is also for you, the faithful of God. So that as you hear his voice, he says to you, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Why does Jesus speak this way? Because Jesus speaks a warning for all to hear. Who does he speak to? Well, certainly Jesus speaks to the unrighteous, to those who want nothing to do with God, want nothing to do with salvation, want nothing to do with eternity. And certainly the world is filled with people like that. As we trace the way through the Old Testament, we realize that there are many outside of Israel who worship false gods or worship no God at all. And certainly those who have no relationship with God, the God of the Scriptures, the God who has revealed himself in Christ, have no place with him. And so when Jesus says to the answer to the question, will only a few be saved? We realize that more than 70% of the world do not know Christ, do not confess Christ, and will be separated from God for eternity. But Jesus, in his teaching, hasn't warned just against unrighteousness. Jesus has also warned those who have listened to his word, but in stubborn rebellion have said, I want nothing to do with your word. Those who openly rebel against his word and say, that has no place in my life. I refuse to heed your call to repentance. And it is evidenced in Jesus' life how so often those who came to Jesus, beholding his miracles and signs and wonders, even marveling at the way he taught, when his teaching became hard, when he called them to repentance, to examine their own life in the light of the Word of God, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? And they no longer walked with him. We certainly must number those who have heard the Word of God, but who have rejected that Word, to also be numbered among the many who will not be saved. And then, of course, there are those who have followed him, who have listened to his voice, and yet, for some reason during life, have become cold and callous towards Christ and his word. Our Sunday morning Bible class has been spending time in the Old Testament over this summer. And again, we have been reminded of how God's people, rescued from sin and slavery in Egypt, coming out of Egypt by God's mighty deliverance, the Passover and the crossing of the Red Sea, and brought into the Promised Land, became cold towards God, They worshiped false gods, thought that they could compromise what God had said in His Word, and tried to walk two different paths. But that didn't just happen in the Old Testament. We see it also in the ministry of Jesus. Those who first came to Him, but then when they did not find in Jesus what they immediately thought they needed, turned aside from Him and no longer followed Him. Unless we think there's no application into the church of today, look around. Consider the many people that you know. Perhaps those who once stood before this communion rail and confessed their faith in Christ, saying they would, even at the risk of death, not turn aside from this confession. Or those who have been baptized at this font, but who through the cares and worries of life have left Christ and His church behind. Those who have so many important things to do in life. They have families to raise. They have work to be concerned about. They have vacations to take. They have retirements to worry about. And yet they have no time for Christ, His Word, and the gathering together with the saints of God. Those who have forsaken Christ in this way must also be numbered among those who will not be saved, because they have turned aside from Christ, from His church, and from His word of salvation. But Jesus speaks to another group. How about those who are very religious? Those like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who with their outward form of religion showed themselves to be such holy men. And yet Jesus spoke to them as hypocrites, whitewashed sepulchres, outwardly showing life, but inwardly only filled with death. These are the self-righteous. These who think that because of the way they live, or because of their obedience to God, because of their observance of the certain ceremonies of God, that they in of themselves, by their own actions, are righteous and holy. We certainly saw them in the Old Testament, those who are filled with self-righteousness. Jesus' ministry is filled with those who likewise are filled with self-righteousness. And today, Jesus would also warn those who hear His word against self-righteousness, against being filled up with a sense of pride or accomplishment in one's own doings. Yes, we could go on and on as to why Jesus answers the question, will only a few be saved? By saying yes. The unrighteous, the self-righteous, those who have forsaken God and His word, those who think that God's word has no place in their life, all will be numbered among those who will be cast out from God's presence and who will hear on the day of their death or on the day of judgment, I do not know you, depart from me. And yes, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And yet, these words are not to be heard only as a warning, though they are. They are also a word of hope and comfort. Because Jesus does answer that there are those who will be saved. Jesus sets before you in the conclusion of today's gospel reading such a beautiful picture. Even in the midst of judgment, weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus says, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and then later He adds, and people will come from east and from west, from north and from south, and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And there will be those who are last who will be first, and those who are first, who will be last. Why is there hope today? Because there is a narrow gate. There is a narrow way, and that way is Christ. Jesus, at the beginning of this gospel reading, is described in the following way. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Jesus was preaching his word, and through that word proclaimed himself as the narrow way. That narrow way goes through Jerusalem, specifically to Calvary, where this Jesus, the eternal Son of God, would give himself in death so that the way of life might be open, so that there might be a way into God's eternal presence, so that there might be true peace on earth between a holy and righteous God and his sinful, fallen creation. Jesus went on his way, continuing to preach and to teach, continuing to call sinners to repentance. He completed that journey. He suffered and died. He rose again on the third day. And he did this for you and for all mankind. And now through that word continues to call you unto himself, showing himself to you as the narrow way and the only way into God's glorious, forgiving, gracious, merciful, and eternal presence. The narrow way is, in fact, the way through the font, where, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of Christ, you have been joined to Christ's death and resurrection. And there, not as an act of righteousness on your behalf, but rather an act of God on your behalf, you have been made holy. You have been made righteous. You have been brought by Christ into the eternal kingdom through the narrow way. And now, as those baptized into Christ, Jesus continues to call you to walk on the narrow way, on the paths of righteousness, calling you, the few, daily to repentance, to acknowledge and confess your sins, but always to look to Christ and to find in him and him alone your forgiveness, your hope, your peace, and your salvation. Jesus sets before you today a most beautiful picture of the eternal kingdom of God, describing it as a table at which sits Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and people from east and west, from north and south, wherever God's word has sent, it has drawn men unto Christ. And they are now seated, reclining as guests in the eternal kingdom at the banquet which God himself has prepared for his people. And today, the few, the baptized, the righteous, the holy in Christ are invited by Christ to have a foretaste of that eternal feast, to come and recline at the table he sets before you today, a table at which he gives himself to you, his very body and blood, once given in death at the cross, now given living and victorious over sin and the grave, to you to eat and to drink. And he does it with this promise for the forgiveness of your sins. And rest assured that you who have been baptized into Christ, you who have heeded his word, you who have walked in the paths of righteousness, being taught to daily repent and confess and receive Christ's forgiveness, you who have sat at the table of Christ and feasted on his life and salvation, rest assured, you are numbered among the few. Take comfort, for because of Christ and Christ alone, you will be seated at the eternal table of Christ. And there with the prophets of old and all the people of God who have entered into the kingdom of God through the narrow way, will rejoice in his eternal salvation. In Jesus' name. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.